This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight...
He said the planned protest by supporters of the Cameroon Renaissance Movement Party was illegal and its arrested leader, Maurice Kamto, a threat to stability.
That's Moki Edwin Kinzeka reporting from Yaoundé, details coming up. Also, the move by the government of Malawi to suspend radio and television call-in programs is being denounced, and civil disobedience in Sudan has entered its second day. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, supporters of press freedom in Malawi are denouncing a government order suspending all radio and television call-in programs. Malawi's Communications Regulatory Authority issued the order on Friday, saying it is concerned that the programs could trigger more post-election violence. Lamek Masina has more from Bantyre.
2 minutes past 11 o'clock, and getting a comment here from Chicken Bean Yagwawa. You're saying, morning guys, there's a lot of beneficial...
A host on Malawi's privately owned capital radio station reads text messages from listeners on her show. The station is known for broadcasting lively chat shows about politics and society, but has been forced to engage with listeners via social media. On Friday, Malawi's Communications Regulatory Authority, MACRA, ordered all broadcasters to immediately and indefinitely suspend call-in shows. Capital Radio's director, Audin Osman, says the suspension has dealt a blow to their normal programming.
We are quite angry and disappointed about this. In fact, our immediate reaction was to send MACRA a strong message that this is unfair, because most of our programs on Capital Radio are talk programs. Now, the blanket ban affects all of us.
MACRA said some broadcasters had engaged in a careless and unethical coverage of unrest that followed disputed May elections and expressed concern the chat shows could inflame further violence. Last week, Malawi opposition supporters, angry about the re-election of President Peter Mutharika, clashed with the police, who used tear gas to break up the protests. Two opposition leaders launched a legal challenge against the results, claiming Mutharika's ruling Democratic Progressive Party and the Election Commission rigged the vote. The DPP and the Election Commission have denied the accusations and say the election was free and fair. Osman says that suspending the chat shows suggests there is panic in the ruling party.
That they don't want anybody to discuss the aftermath of the election. It seems somebody somewhere seems to be afraid of public opinion.
When asked by a reporter Monday by phone why the ban was needed, MACRA's communications manager Clara Mafulilwa said she will come back later and then promptly ended the call. Malawi Press Freedom Group Media Institute for Southern Africa says the government's order violates freedom of expression. Teresa Ndanga is the chairperson for the group.
We have asked them to reverse that decision, and we do expect that they would respond in the best interest of Malawians. We'll see thereafter what action we might take depending on the outcome of the engagement that we are having.
Broadcast managers are planning to meet with the Communications Regulatory Authority this week to discuss the matter. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
Cameroon has detained hundreds more supporters of opposition leader Maurice Kamto, who is facing treason charges after leading protests and asserting that he won last October's presidential election. The arrests happened Saturday as security forces disrupted a planned demonstration calling for Kamto's release.
Hoki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Yaounde.
Bookseller Germain Kamte was found lying on the ground Monday in the Longkak neighborhood of Cameroon's capital with bruises all over her body. She told the crowd that found her it was police who stopped her and her four friends, accused them of supporting a planned opposition protest, and then beat them. She says the police beat her and four others severely, saying they were rude because two of the girls pleaded to be allowed to speak with their lawyers. Police kicked them all over their bodies, says Kamte, and used batons to beat them on their heads and under their feet. Cameroon police refused to respond to Kamte's accusations, but routinely deny use of excessive force. Territorial Administration Minister Paul Atanganji said the police were deployed to maintain public order. He said the planned protest by supporters of the Cameroon Renaissance Movement Party was illegal and its arrested leader, Maurice Kamto, a threat to stability.
We can no longer tolerate those who undermine the laws of the Republic. He has a hidden agenda to destabilize Cameroon. We'll not give him the opportunity.
Kamto's supporters had promised to defy yet another ban on protest Saturday and demonstrate for his immediate release, along with over 500 arrested and detained supporters. But Cameroon's security forces disrupted the protest and detained about 200 more opposition supporters, says the CRM party. CRM Secretary General Christopher Ndong condemned authorities for deploying troops to crack down and refusing their right to protest.
We have taken the pains to write declaring that we want to protest. For more than 300 subdivisional offices, systematically the government has rejected it. We now use the constitutional right because it's in the constitution that we have to write and march and protest for things that are going wrong.
Human rights activist Jean-Pierre Bengono says Cameroon should not be using the military to stop protests.
Moi, je ne suis pas fondamentalement d'accord qu'on trouve manifestement des gendarmes qui certainement ont mieux.
He says no normal human being would be happy seeing the military of a country that is supposed to protect its people assemble every morning, ready to arrest those who simply want to express their opinions. He says all organized democracies need the opposition to check political excesses and discuss the well-being of its people. Kamto declared himself winner of the October 7, 2018 presidential election and accused the president of Cameroon, Paul Biya, who has led for 36 years, of stealing his victory. Biya was declared the winner with 71% of the vote, far ahead of Kamto's 14%. Police arrested Kamto and his colleagues in January after days of peaceful protest turned violent with security forces using riot gear to disperse crowds in Yaounde, Douala and Buda. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaounde.
At least 95 people died last night in an attack on a village in central Mali. Mali police say unknown assailants raided an ethnic Dogod village and killed almost a third of the population. The attack was the latest in a series of intercommunal clashes in a multi-ethnic Mali. In March, a group of Dogons attacked a Fulani community, killing more than 150 people. The Dogon traditionally are farmers, and the Fulani are a herding society. Ethnic violence has risen in Mali over the past several years, fueled in part by poverty and conflict over resources such as water. Islamic extremists in the region have taken advantage of the tensions to expand. You're listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz, on the Voice of America. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. 15 past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. The move by the government of Malawi to suspend radio and television call-in programs is being denounced. Cameroon detains hundreds more supporters of opposition leader Maurice Kamto, who is facing treason charges. And at least 95 people died last night in an attack on a village in central Mali. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Economists are doubtful about the Zimbabwe government's plan to reintroduce a local currency this year. Adi Gondo gives us more on the issue.
Zimbabwe's government hopes a new local currency will help steady the economy, which is experiencing the worst inflation in a decade and growing shortages of basic goods. In February, the government introduced a new currency called RTG dollars, which is a blend of the electronic dollar and surrogate bond notes. The currency initially traded at 2.5 to the dollar in the interbank market, but it now trades at about 6 to the dollar officially. Most businesses now peg their prices in US dollars and use black market rates to calculate RTGS prices. Last week, President Emmerson Mnangagwa told a gathering that the current situation obtaining is not sustainable.
The president says, as a country, we are obliged to have our own currency, and we've begun our journey because of the volatility of the currency market. But some economists say that although the Zimbabwean president is right in principle that a country should have its own currency, the fundamentals for introducing a new currency are not yet in place. Economist James Joa says the problem is to do with the country's production capacity.
First of all, our predicament as a country is not because of currency, but the situation turned bad when the government issued out treasury bills that amounted to significant amounts, to billions of dollars, I think more than 3 billion over the past 2.5 years. That led to high money supply growth, where we have too much money chasing too few goods because the country is not producing. So our problem is not a monetary problem, it is a production problem, a supply side issue.
Chua says no matter what currency is introduced, it will be undermined by lack of production as well as inflation. He thinks the government must first address what he terms the political risk factor, which he says causes investors to stay away from the country. Another economist, Tainos Kucherera, agrees on the need to create an environment that encourages business investment.
So bringing a new currency in this economic environment is not going to help anything. Because a currency must be backed up by a thriving industry. It must be backed up by a thriving economic investment, of which, in my view, these things are not yet in place. And until then, a new currency will just be as good as the bond notes that we've been printing and pushing to the public to use.
Economic analysts such as Dumisani Smanda say the other challenge for creating a workable currency is the government's tough tax system, which he says transfers wealth from the private sector and households to government. Smanda says the government needs to cut down on the bloated civil service and overall spending. He also thinks the government needs to initiate a consultative process before introducing a new currency.
So the way forward is a consultative process. It will take views from all economic stakeholders. Government cannot by itself impose on citizens that they must introduce a local currency. It must be consensual and properly structured strategy on how to introduce a local currency. The fundamentals that must be in place to support it. Currently, they're just doing it against the will of many economic players and without a proper strategy that supports a way of productivity improvement and, everything that is required to have a viable currency.
Economists argue that policy ineptitude and inconsistency has prevented an economic turnaround for Zimbabwe. They also cite endemic corruption and unbridled government expenditure as drags on the economy. Reporting for VOA, this is Adi Gondo in Bulawayo.
Cyclone Idai ripped through eastern Zimbabwe 3 months ago after striking Mozambique and Malawi. On Monday, a top UN official for humanitarian affairs and emergency relief said Zimbabweans in the storm-hit areas are still struggling to get food and medicine. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare after visiting Chimanimani, one of the hard-hit areas.
Yusla Mula said Monday the situation in the cyclone hit areas of Zimbabwe is still devastating and distressing. The UN relief official said people are still food insecure and cannot access basic health care.
This is particularly distressing for people living with HIV who face the double dilemma of being unable to access drugs, and even if they can access them, not being able to properly absorb them on an empty stomach.
Mula, who is visiting Harare, said the UN and its partners have received just 40% of the $294 million they appealed for to respond to the effects of Cyclone Idai. That is certainly not good news for people like 79-year-old Evaristo Gambire, whose home was totally destroyed by Cyclone Idai. He survived, but not his four grandchildren. It's still painful up to now, he says. They had grown up and I could manage to send them to do some chores like cleaning dishes when their grandmother was not around, said Gambire. The loss is still troubling my mind. My son Matthew is really hurt too for his loss of children. He is suggesting of relocating. Remaining here in this place is troubling him. Love Mo Utseya, the councillor for Chimanimani, says he has been overwhelmed by people like Gambire who want to be relocated. They are really pleading, asking for new places to settle, as it is now difficult to live in hilly areas, says Utseya. All their fields and grazing lands were wiped out by the heavy rains and winds, he said. Mula said it was very important that their plans and actions to resettle these people in the areas that are not disaster-prone. But with the lack of funding for the relief efforts, it might take time for people like Gambire and his family to find a new home. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
In Sudan, many people are staying at home, away from their jobs and schools, in the second day of a general strike called by pro-democracy activists. Much of the capital, Khartoum, is quiet because of the strike. Other people are staying at home out of fear after the military attacked demonstrators last week, killing scores. Journalist Mungu Ugel is in Khartoum. He spoke with John Tanza today about life in the city.
The second day today, many shopping centers and banks and public and private offices remain closed. Several newspapers have not been printed. And I have been today in Al Arabi Market in the downtown of Khartoum, and I could see few individuals seated in groups in front of closed shops. Some are like grouped around the tea places, chatting, and of course monitoring the situation. I have also observed a few ATMs are open, but I could see many people queuing to try to withdraw money for their personal use. But still others are like complaining there is a lack of cash because the Central Bank of Sudan was also closed.
You told me that you've been to downtown Khartoum and you've seen shops closed and there are a few people gathered around just monitoring the situation. What about the pro-military militia, the paramilitary militia? Are they on the streets? And if they are on the streets, what are they telling people?
I have also observed the heavy presence of the military pickups packed with the soldiers in military uniform. And it is basically the uniform of rapid forces. And they are just on their pickup, either, you know, sitting near their pickup or either laying down near their pickup. They don't have anything to, like, they don't say anything to anybody. They don't talk to anybody. So anybody minds his or her own business. People just move around. But you could see the level of the security presence in the town even has increased significantly, as I said.
And how about the roadblocks that have been created by the pro-democracy protesters? Have you seen any roadblock on your way from your suburb to town and back?
Several roadblocks have been removed, but still, as you move, you could see still the remnants of the bricks, either poles, either whatever being put on the roadblock. You could see the side of the road. But I think people also contributed to like remove some of these roadblocks so that they can access the market. Since they have been in the long holiday of Eid of Al-Fitr, and it has now added more 2 or 3 days of the weekend, plus the 2 days call for the civil disobedience. So it makes a little bit a longer holiday, which for normal life you might, you know, get frustrated with a sitting home, and even the basic food commodities that you might have stored for a few days that it might have been over. So people try to, you know, pick their vehicles, try to access the market, try to access the places where they can get something to eat.
And that was Mungu Ugel in Khartoum speaking with VOA's John Tanza. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
This is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the CEOs of Kenya and South African Airways have announced their resignations. Does this signal a lack of progress for African airlines? Africa's airline woes on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.